I apologize to Bud Light. I'm not biased, I drink any beer. Tonight I'm drinking Bud Light all night.
Yeah!
Welcome back to FightCasters. Andy Samuelson of the Las Vegas Sun, joined by always Brett Okamoto. How you doing, Brett?
I'm doing good.
Well, for those of you missed UFC 100, why is the first question, and that was Brock Lesnar apologizing to Bud Light officials. He said he liked Coors Light in the octagon, Bud Light outside of it. Yeah, I'm kind of like him. I don't have a preference either. just kidding. That's actually a Monster Energy drink. Been a long week, but we're back at it. Historic night. Let's just talk about UFC 100.
Well, let's talk about that first quote that we opened up with by Brock. Brock coming into the press conference apologizing for his actions in the octagon on Saturday night. You know, a lot of people have made a lot about this. They made a lot about Brock's actions in the octagon, saying that it was bad for the sport. UFC 100 was supposed to be this big, you know, presentation to maybe people who weren't fans of it yet to show them that it's a real sport with real fighters. And now everyone's kind of getting on Brock for his actions, you know, after beating Frank. What are your thoughts?
I'm kind of torn. I see it both ways. At first I didn't like it. I thought it was way too WWE, and you're trying to, you know, the Fertittas and Dana White and the whole sport has worked so hard to make it a legitimate outlet for entertainment. And but the flip side, hey, these guys had a lot of emotion. There's a war of words. This is immediately after he just pounded him out. You can't take a guy who's been something his whole life and change him overnight. He hasn't done this every time. He's kind of got a style, and I don't think it's the worst thing for the sport.
Exactly. You know what? I'm sorry to anybody that doesn't agree with me on this one, but I was watching Brock same as everybody else. I didn't think it was that bad. I wasn't sitting up there being like, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing that. You know, I was almost surprised that it became such a big issue in the press conference, in the media afterwards. I mean, and Dana White says this isn't who Brock Lesnar is. A small part of me thinks that maybe just a little bit it is who Brock Lesnar is.
I'm not going to say a small part. That's honestly, that might be where the problem is. I think Dana might be covering up a little for him too much. I mean, this is Brock Lesnar. Let's not call it what it isn't. He's short with the media. You saw at the press conference, he had his attorney there. He had his handlers. He doesn't like doing press. He almost walked out of two press conferences. This is who he is, but you know what? In the octagon, that's what matters, and he's going to be tough to beat.
He's a short-tempered guy. You know, this is who Brock Lesnar is. You know, and Dana White saying, maybe the Bud Light thing was over the top. Bud Light thing was over the top. You know, no matter what Frank Mir did when he stood up and kind of walked towards Brock, you don't need to start getting in a shadow match, because then it's like, yeah, this is just a bunch of thugs who just really love to fight, and it's not a sport anymore at that point. But as far as flipping off the fans, you know, saying that he's going to get on his wife afterwards, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't see a problem with that, and I think a lot of people, I don't know, I think a lot of people are getting blown up about this when this is what UFC is. It is fighting, you know, and this is coming from a guy who thinks that it is a sport. I think these guys are world-class athletes, but it's a little different shooting hoops against someone than going in and trying knocking a guy out. And when you do that, that's got to be a feeling that few of us ever really get to feel. And you know what? I'm not saying that if all the fans weren't booing me, that I'd laugh and flip them off too, because it's how the sport is.
And it's, you know, we are dealing with emotion. Look at another guy that on tonight, Dan Henderson, a veteran of both Pride and UFC.
Right.
I mean, one of the most veteran fighters out there. He probably said some stuff too. He had a late hit. I'm not blaming for the late hit. The ref should have probably been in there.
Right.
But, you know, he said that second one's to shut him up. I mean, what do you want him to say? They've been fighting all season long. This is kind of the appeal of the sport. It's the basic right to fight. And I'm sorry, even GSP has showed him. You got to have some emotion in there. That's what makes it what it is.
Well, the unfortunate thing about the Henderson thing is that people who did watch for the first time are like, wow, you know, look, this is a guy who landed one of the most vicious right hands I've seen in a long time. Obviously, Michael Bisping was knocked out cold when he hit him with the right hand, and then he goes in for the second hit. And people who haven't seen the sport are going to be like, oh, and then he comes back and says the second one was to shut him up, and that's going to turn him off. But really, this is how the sport is. It's up to the referee to stop the fight. It's not up to the fighter to stop the fight. And like you said, these guys have been fighting in the house for so long. This was a personal kind of vendetta for both of them. And again, Dan Henderson is a stand-up guy. You know, people who saw that for the first time are thinking, wow, this guy's a punk and he's trying to hurt people in there. No, he's not. He was in there doing his job. He was psyched up after the win. And I hope that you know, the incident with Brock and the incident with Dan didn't ruin the night for a lot of first-time watchers, because really it was a good card and it was a good event.
And I think it did overshadow it, but, I mean, it was a historic night. But, you know, you also got to take this into effect. As big as it was, Dana and everyone believes that it's just getting started. So maybe this is the opening doors, and maybe it actually didn't hurt. I mean, maybe the appeal is there's so much controversy after it. I mean, it's not a bad marketing machine to be talking about it a couple days later.
If Dana White had his way, he doesn't want to build his sport off of a situation like this where Lesnar blows up and you know, people are coming to find out what's Brock Lesnar going to do after his next win. That's not what he wants to build it on.
No, what he wants to do is be base jumping off Mandalay Bay because of the $1.5 million pay-per-view buys. And you know what? I think it's going to happen. And, hey, however you build the sport, you want to do it the right way, but look at the NFL, look at anything. There's going to be bad apples, there's going to be bad seeds. I don't necessarily think Lesnar's not I mean, he is who he is. And right now, he looks like he's a dominant champion. Let's get into that. Who is going to be the guy to knock him off? Can anybody right now? You're talking 6'3", 280 pounds, clearly outweighed Mir by 30 or more that night. And Mir had really no chance in that bout. He tried to throw a knee, and that was really his only offensive. You know, he got taken down early on, and he just couldn't do anything.
Sometimes it's tough when you watch these UFC events. You get drawn into, if somebody scores a you know, pretty electrifying win like Brock did, it's easy to jump on this idea. We're like, oh, man, no one can beat this guy because look at what he did tonight. You know, and I'm trying not to do that, but with Brock, just his athletic abilities is making it pretty tough for me to, like, I mean, I'm looking down the road and I'm trying to be like, okay, he had a great win over Frank. Let's kind of put that out of our mind. Can anyone legitimately beat this guy? Let's not just jump on the Brock Lesnar bandwagon. I'm having a hard time doing it. I mean, I don't see Cain Velasquez beating him. Cain had a mediocre showing against Chet Congo. I really thought that Cain had an opportunity to throw around a guy like Chet Congo and knock him out, and he didn't. He wrestled
and
him.
Congo,
he kept him on the ground.
Almost knocked him out twice.
Exactly. And then you talk about guys like Randy Couture and Nogueira. And these are guys that in their primes might have had a chance against Brock, but I don't think at this point either of them do. Nogueira looked sluggish against Mir. You know, Mir, don't get me wrong, Mir was terrific that night, and he would have beat just about anybody. But I think you saw a little bit of the toll that Nogueira's career has taken on him. And Randy was great against Brock. I mean, did he ever get Brock in trouble? I mean, he held his own, but were you ever in a situation where you're like, yeah, he's going to win this fight?
When he cut him and phased him and stunned him there, I think he had him in trouble. You know, he got caught by that long arm. He got caught behind the, almost there in the ear, and it dropped him. Let's not act like he's invincible. Anybody can be beat. Matt Serra beat GSP. Right. These guys, I mean, it's only going to take one shot from a guy like Carwin or Nogueira or Mir even again. I think they will fight a third time. I think it'll be a little down the line. Let's put it out there. Affliction. When it's over, Fedor. I mean, that's who everyone wants to see, and that could be, let's not act like he's unstoppable. Right there's the guy who can beat him.
Before we get to Fedor, let's talk about Shane Carwin, because I think Shane Carwin is the one gap man in the UFC heavyweight with a legitimate chance, because I think if someone does beat Brock, first of all, Carwin is the same size as he is. He might not look it, but he does weigh the same as Brock does, and he's a powerful puncher, you know, and he's a guy who's in his prime right now. He's undefeated. And if he catches Brock, Brock is going to be stunned, and Carwin is explosive enough to jump on top of the big guy and knock him out. And that really is the only man I see. But then, like you were saying, let's get into Fedor, because really Fedor is the one that everybody wants to see.
Well, I mean, this is a super fight that I think happens too much money out there for it not to. Then again, I mean, just the money angle, will it happen? Is this Affliction's, you know, is the August 1st show their ending? A lot of people are saying they are. I mean, if it's just money, Fedor's not going to come to the UFC. If he wants to prove he's the greatest ever, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe obviously the UFC can get him the money he wants. It's just, I think it'll happen. I mean, come on, if you're the best, don't you want to prove it?
I think it will happen. I'm not sure when it will happen. That's what everybody wants to know. When is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? Don't worry, it'll happen. When it does, I'm going to take Fedor. I think that Fedor is the mixed martial artist, and Brock is the freak of nature that's using his God-given abilities to run over people right now. But I think when he does get in the octagon with Fedor, then Fedor is going to win, and then we're going to be having the discussion, can anybody beat Fedor?
I'll tell you what, Fedor also likes beer, so that would be a You put enough beer out there, that would be one heck of a fight.
Hey, well, if I'm sitting in the Coors Light advertising agency, I'm loving Brock Lesnar right now.
Let's talk about the rest of the night. GSP, dominant victory over Alves. You couldn't, a lot of people, you know, thought Alves would put up more of a fight, and especially the fact that GSP likely tore, you know, he tore his groin area there in the third round to keep putting it on there. No one knew, you know, and the great quote from Greg Jackson, I don't care what happened, go out there and hit him with it. He just looked dominant, took him down about 10 times, and Alves never really had a shot to get his strikes going.
We don't need to tell anybody this, but let's just say it for the umpteenth billionth time. GSP is a phenomenal, one-of-a-kind individual. I mean, Alves was psyched up to take this guy on, and he just could do absolutely nothing against him. And I think you always hear in the UFC about guys who their will was broken somewhere in the fight, where they just got frustrated, and they're like, you know what? There's nothing I can do that's going to beat this guy. And I saw that in Alves. He looked jacked up, ready to go in the first round. And then by the time you talk about the fourth and fifth rounds, I mean, in really a situation where he should have gone out and beat GSP because of the injury, he did nothing. I mean, I couldn't believe how many times GSP took him down in the fourth and fifth rounds without Alves really even trying anything. Like, in previous fights, we've seen Alves throw a knee when a guy comes in for a takedown. Alves was just throwing a jab, and then gets taken down and tries not to get submitted. I was disappointed with him on Saturday night, but I think what it comes down to is in those first 1 to 3 rounds, somewhere in the middle of that, GSP just beat him mentally, let him know that there is nothing you can do that's going to beat me tonight.
And well, let's say you take Lesnar Mir off that card, then that fight's going to get a lot more attention. And obviously, the consummate pro, he is what most of the UFC is about. He's a mixed martial artist, every sense of the word. For a guy who's never had collegiate wrestling or any experience like that, I mean, he's probably the best wrestler in the game.
One of the best takedown guys.
And the respect, too. I mean, he said, you know, he was in that position when he lost to Hughes. You know, 25, whatever, how I can't remember, 26, 27.
Right.
And he knows the pit bull is going to come back. He'll probably have to face him again. But kind of the same way as Lesnar, where is GSP's next challenge? I guess Fitch would be the probably, but I mean, he didn't even look spectacular in his win over Thiago. So is that super fight with Anderson Silva going to happen, or will Silva fight Henderson? If Silva can beat Forrest, I mean, there's a lot of ifs out there, and so even if you know the Lesnar kind of overshadowed it, I think there was a great night overall, and I think it did take the sport forward. I don't think it pushed it back.
Well, I'll tell you what: if Silva beats Griffin anywhere close to how dominating GSP beat Alves, that is the only fight left for these guys. I mean, you're talking about Silva, who is undefeated since he came into the UFC, dominated everybody. I mean, just unbeatable. And when you talk about these guys and you watch them, you're like, who's going to beat him? You know, and if Silva is able to dismantle Griffin, that's going to be the only fight left, really, for both of these guys. I mean, Henderson would be the next in line to face Silva. That'd be a good fight. I'd watch it.
I'm calling it right now. 2010, Toronto, Canada, Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre, the biggest card ever.
Probably biggest card
ever. I mean, for obviously UFC, 30,000, however, I mean, it will be unreal.
It's exciting stuff coming up. It really is. The UFC is in a great position because they've got champions. Hopefully they'll get contenders now. We'll see what happens at 101 with Penn and Florian. They need contenders.
We were just talking about this earlier before we got on air. If Penn wins, you really have five champions who are pretty damn stout.
Yeah, you don't know who's gonna be the one to beat him. I mean, Machida has yet to defend his title, but I mean, already people are talking about this guy's gonna hang on to it forever. I agree. I mean, his style makes him one of the top pound for pound fighters. And I mean, it's almost like you have this conversation where who's the best pound for pound fighter, and you can mix in all of the.
But
champions.
The beautiful thing about mixed martial arts, only one of those fighters has a perfect record. Mm-hmm. And eventually that won't be perfect either.
That is true. That is a good thing about UFC. No matter how dominant a champion is, you know, Brock Lesnar said best, it takes one punch, and you're out cold. And while we're on that subject, let's talk about Michael Bisping. What happens to Michael Bisping after this?
I mean, he's got a dangerous threat, a legitimate fighter. I think he'll probably highlight the next, I think him and some of the cast of the last, The Ultimate Fighter will be on the next overseas card.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're Manchester is the next one, next 106. I can't remember exactly when that is. But, you know, I don't know who his next contender is, but, man, what a one punch, huh?
It's tough for Bisping because this was his chance to to come in and really get the respect he deserved. I mean, we wrote about that on LasVegasSun.com.
Or didn't deserve.
We wrote, yeah, exactly. We wrote about how he. This is a guy who felt that he was, you know, not respected as much as he should have been, and he was getting ready to take it from a guy. If it, with a win over Dan Henderson, he would have gained a lot of respect. He would have probably had a title shot with Silva. Now it's kind of back to the drawing board for him. I hope this guy. I hope this guy comes back from it though, because I think he's. I think he's as much as you know, it was easy for U.S. fans to sit call this guy a douchebag because you know of the rivalry on the Ultimate Fighter season. He's a good guy. He's a good fighter. I hope that
nothing wrong with a little talk either. I mean, you got to hype the fight. No one would be tuning in if this stuff wasn't going on. I mean, right. It'd be boring.
Yeah.
A couple last other impressions that stood out to you. Obviously, Mark Coleman, as gassed as he looked against Shogun in Ireland. You know, he out wrestled Bonner. I mean, what happens with Bonner now? I mean, obviously Dana says he can never let go of the guy because of it, what him and Forrest did for the sport and UFC. You basically made it. But what happens with two losses? He just really hasn't looked good in either one of them.
I loved that though. What Dana said about Bonner, where he's like, you know, Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner are my children now. With what they did at the Ultimate Fighter finale, the way that they put this sport in the limelight. I loved that about Dana White. I loved that he would say it. And Bonner, you know what? This guy could come out and lose his next three fights. He's still going to have fans. And that's not what the sport is about, but on some level it kind of is. It's about a connection with the fans. It's about an epic, epic fight that he put on, you know. And if that's what continues to carry him, Stephen Bonner, I'll never be bored to watch him fight, you know. I mean, he can lose as many fights as he wants. He's always going to come out and give it his best. And to a point, that's what the UFC is about.
Couple other there's Holly Madison needs to hurry her stroll up a little bit. She not only delayed the fight, but she delayed all three rounds. Extracurriculars between Rashad Evans and Quentin Rampage Jackson. These guys do not like each other. When Lorenzo Fertitta is breaking you up, it's real.
Well, we actually had a clip of what Dana said about Ultimate Fighter 10. Don't want to seem like we're just pushing the season, but it does sound like there's going to be some memorable moments. Let's hear what Dana said about it.
For those of you that don't know, Rashad came over. Rampage came over to the Atlas. It was next to Rashad, and I was told almost got into it tonight. I've been living with that for 6 weeks, okay? Anytime these guys got within 2 inches of each other on the show, it's bad. They really don't like each other, and these two really want to fight. When this shit, when the season time's over, this isn't the most anticipated fight ever, I'm telling you. I won't believe it. Season 10 is probably some of the best television I've ever done. It's crazy. Not only with the coaches, but what happened with the fighters. And I'm not talking guys pissing each other's food.
All right, and that was Dana White, what he thinks about the season. Should be a good one. Looking ahead, you know, UFC 100 in the books, 101 on the way. We got BJ Penn facing Kenny Florian. After that, huge fight like we've been talking about, Anderson Silva versus Forrest Griffin. So we will actually be traveling to Philly. We'll be giving you all the updates, you know, so make sure to check us out. Photos, live blogs, everything.
Podcasts, live blogs, Rocky style.
Rocky style in Philly. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. A little bit of boxing news this weekend. Obviously, a very tragic situation with Arturo Gatti. Actually, looks like his wife might have had some involvement. Our police are investigating that. He was found dead in Brazil over the weekend. And, you know, just a tremendous fighter, a lot of memories, especially his trilogy with Mickey Ward. And then Showtime's got some interesting news coming up, too.
Yeah, Showtime announced today that they're going to have a six-fighter tournament, a boxing tournament with in the super middleweight class. Really good stuff. You know, when I first saw the headline, I'm thinking, well, you know, it'll probably be, you know, maybe one or two good names, some scrubs thrown in there, and it'll be, you know, just something that Showtime's putting on. Not really sure what to think about it. Great names in this six-fight tournament. It should be really fun to watch. Arthur Abraham, Andre Durrell, Carl Froch, Mikel Kessler, Jermaine Taylor, and Andre Ward. If you don't know, International Boxing Organization ranks Carl Froch number one, Jermaine Taylor number two, Mikel Kessler number three, Andre Ward is number 14. These are the best guys of the division. They should be a lot of fun to watch. It's going to be going on over the next year. Fights, dates, and venues are still to be announced, but it should wrap up within the next 12 months, the first round. It's got round robin, and then semifinals and finals in 2011. So, you know, maybe boxing maybe or maybe not with the UFC trying something new, and I think it's going to be really good.
I mean, it sounds exciting. I mean, we're obviously fans of both sport. Probably lean a little more to MMA, but I mean, everyone wants to see a good fight. And if you can match up, that's what boxing's missing for so long is consistently good fights, not just once a year or twice, you know, three times a year. You want to see, I mean, yeah, spice it up. It sounds like a lot of fun.
And out of that six, I mean, let's just give our predictions real quick. I'm going to have to go with Jermaine Taylor. He lost in the 12-round decision to not 12-round decision. He was actually TKO'd in the 12th round by Carl Froch. He was winning the fight up until that point.
Are you going with Arkansas's finest?
My choice is going to be Jermaine Taylor to win that thing. It's a long ways off, but Jermaine Taylor he's been the best middleweight for a long time. One step back by Roach, and then he actually lost he lost his belts to Kelly Pavlik not too long ago. But I think he comes back and wins this one. Who do you take?
I'd probably take Froch. Let's see what happens, huh?
We'll see what happens. And all right, so good stuff coming up. Again, make sure you keep an eye out for the Philly coverage. We're excited to be going. Should be a great card at 101.
And any Anheuser-Busch representatives out there, give us a call. Or, I mean, hey, even Pat, we'll drink anything.
All right, well, thanks a lot for stopping by and listening. I'm Brett Okamoto with Andy Samuelson.
All right, we'll see you next time.